Amen. Well, let's jump into God's Word and see what He has for us this morning. I believe you'll be encouraged today. Last week, those around last week got to hear a pretty straightforward message on abandoning self and selfishness and letting go of some of that. We followed up on what we had talked about the week before, and this week I want to take us kind of in a little different direction with praying and faith. And something I believe will encourage your faith and strengthen it. Something that we'll get right from God's Word. We'll be able to see what Jesus said and be able to draw from that and be able to walk away a little stronger in our faith and be able to lift up those that may be weak in faith. But let's start with prayer. Father, we are yielding ourselves to You right here and now. Father, we have given up on self. We have turned to You. We have accepted Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We trust that You will lead us and guide us in Your Word this morning. Help us to grow. Help us to see the truth in what is in Your Scriptures this morning, Lord. Help us to draw from it, to let it be quickened and made alive in our spirit, Lord, that we will be strengthened thereby and be able to walk forth from here a little different than we came in. Lord, we thank You for that, that we are shining lights for Jesus, that we are in Your glory and in Your presence here and now, Lord, and that Your blessing and anointing is right here upon us, Lord. We take that with us again as we leave this morning. In Jesus' name we thank You. Amen. Amen. So, I may remember in the beginnings of our services we're probably at 9 weeks or something like that, I had been talking about revival and revivals in America, and we read all the history of revivals, and we talked about what the characteristics of revival and kind of what they look like. And then last week we got to the point in that conversation where we talked about how the Christian church in America is still strong in numbers. Okay, there are still a lot of people that would say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, in even evangelical or, you know, the born again Christians, there are many. That's pretty small. But there are millions of people in that category that would say that, yes, that is me. And yet, we saw and expounded just a little bit on the reason that we still see moral decline in the church, even though we have these great numbers and there's still people coming to the Christ, there's still people in the services, we still have moral decline and see that on the rise because the church has lost its power. Okay, it's not walking in the authority. It's not walking in the power of God anymore. Christians have become content with just going to church, okay, sort of going through the motions, okay, checking off the box. Yep, I went. Yep, I read my Bible today. People are going through those motions, checking off the boxes without any real need, like a desire and a need for the power and the supernatural manifestations of the splendor of God. Okay, to see Him wow you in a service or in your daily life, many people have strayed from that to the point they're just kind of going through the motions without really craving that. I'm still craving it. That's why you're getting sermons like this. I still crave that in my life. I need that. I have to have that. Okay, congregations have settled into sort of a comfort zone that embraces enticing words of man's wisdom rather than desiring and earnestly seeking after the demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. Okay, and that is a scripture, if you don't know. That is one of the faults of the church that the Apostle Paul would write to and say, many are seeking after man's wisdom. They're being enticed by it. And rather than seeking after and drawing from the powerful manifestations of the glory of God and the Spirit of God. Okay, when Christians have become complacent about the people around them going to hell, okay, when Christians are putting up with demonic spirits tormenting their kids, their family, okay, or they have grown accustomed to sickness in their body. Maybe they are no longer appalled by or even uncomfortable by what they know is sin. then the church is no longer at that point walking in the true power and the anointing and the fullness that God had intended for His children to walk in. God had given and has given already an authority and a power for His children to live and to walk in every day. But many are not utilizing that. We're not walking in that. I hope to encourage you this morning to rise above that way of thinking. Okay, to get above that, to not allow that complacency to be at a level that keeps you from experiencing more of God. Okay, so I hope to encourage you to rise above that way of thinking by letting faith arise. Okay, letting it rise up, letting God's word rise up inside of you until it causes you to desire the things of God, the greatness of God, until you begin to seek God and expect God's abundant and powerful glory to be demonstrated in and through your life. Until that is an everyday experience, that we begin to want that, see that, and just walk with an expectancy every day that today is going to be another day for the manifestations of the glory of God. Okay, what is God going to do on this day? Because He is doing it all over the world every day. James 5:15 was a scripture that prompted this message. It says that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay, so when I read a verse like that, I'm thinking the prayer of faith sounds like a pretty powerful prayer. It saves the sick. Okay, so when I read that verse, and every time I read it, it still gets me thinking, it started causing me to ask a question. What is a prayer of faith? Okay, because if it's implied that a prayer of faith is something that we can have and that we can freely use to see the miraculous, then I want it. Right? It's in the scripture. A prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, I want a prayer of faith. I don't want a prayer of faith just for saving sick. I want all my prayers to be a prayer of faith. Okay, where I can pray and believe and see and expect and receive the manifested glory of God just by speaking something and asking God for it and begin to see those things. Okay, that is a prayer of faith. So I asked myself, what is a prayer of faith? Okay, so I did some digging. A prayer of faith is literally a vow in which the failure to keep and maintain your side of it will have some sort of a negative consequence. And I'll explain it like this. It is a prayer in which the person knowingly and willingly rules out all other possibilities for a positive result. That is a vow. I am committing myself to this one solution, and that's God. Okay, that is a vow. It is a commitment, a prayer of faithful commitment that God, you are God. Okay, and you will come through and see this to the end. Okay, in other words, a prayer of faith is a commitment to seeing something through all the way to the end solely by faith in God. Okay, when your prayer is such that God must come through or I'm destined for failure. When your prayer is prayed in a manner that you're basically saying, Lord, I have no other options besides you. I have no way to provide, no way to heal, no way to do any of this. None of this is possible on my own strength and ability. If it could have been done, I would have done it. Right? We probably already tried a few things. And when you get to that point that you're praying a prayer that you believe there are no other options, then God needs to answer this or you're doomed. Then you're praying a prayer of faith. It looks like, on the outside, a confident assurance that the Lord is listening and answering your prayer exactly how you spoke it. Your words matter. Okay, I've preached that many times. Okay, what you say puts things in motion. This verse says that a prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay, so I looked up the word save. That word save in the Greek is the word sozo, S-O-Z-O. Okay, and it literally means to deliver from set free from. It is the same word that sozo is used throughout the scriptures to describe people's way of thinking when they would like think, if I could just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be healed. I will be sozoed. Okay, that is their thought process. They have emptied out all other possibilities, all other solutions, that they have one left. And if I could just touch Jesus, it's going to be okay. They've got rid of all other possibilities for an answer. It was something that was deemed to be their final, last, and only solution for them to be delivered from their sickness. Sozo is also used in the Bible to describe those that were saved, healed, and delivered from demonic forces or from demons. Okay, it implies a desperation on the part of the people or the person that is healed or the people that are asking for deliverance. How many know a family member went to Jesus on behalf of their son, on their daughter, whatever, said, "Lord, help my servant." They went to them because they had faith in Jesus, believing that His power was the final and only solution for their trouble, what they were going through. There was no other way that was going to be solved other than getting an audience of one with Jesus and saying, "Lord, You can just speak a word and my servant will be healed. You can heal my son. You can keep him from throwing himself in the fire. You can do these things." And they went to Jesus with a sozo mentality. Okay, He can heal, save, deliver. He is the one. He is my solution. The attitude of those people is, if Jesus can't do it, it won't be done. There is no other option. Listen to this statement that Jesus made about prayer. Matthew 21, verse 22. Jesus said, "In all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." You know, that's a pretty bold statement. We could ask for a lot of stuff, believing. But it wasn't just a one-time kind of fleeting thought that Jesus had here. He wasn't thinking, "Well, you know, I'll say this once and maybe they'll get it, maybe they won't. Some people will actually believe it, some won't." No, Jesus went on and used that same terminology over and over and over. And then you see the disciples using that same language in their writings as well. Okay, Jesus made statements like this on numerous occasions throughout His writing, or what we read in the Bible. Another example is in John 14. Verses 12 through 14, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And again, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And again, "If you shall ask anything in my name," Jesus says, "I will do it." Why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Because Jesus said, whatever we ask in His name, He will do it, so that the Father is glorified. Again, John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you." He wants you to produce fruit through your life. Good stuff, edible, other people can partake of, you can partake of. Edible, personable, real fruit, tangible stuff. He wants you to produce that through your life, so He gave you everything you need is the name of Jesus. Ask in my name, and I will do it. The only stipulation for receiving what you ask the Father in Jesus' name is that you ask in faith, believing. You could say that you must ask with a prayer of faith. I have found in my studies that a prayer of faith is a prayer of faith. All of our prayers should be a prayer of faith. If they're not, we're not praying in faith. A prayer of faith like a vow of desperation. Okay, that we are asking God, knowing that He is the only option for a positive fulfillment of our request, our need, whatever it is. When we pray, we go to Him and say, God, You're the solution. You're the one that is going to be able to fulfill this. Again, in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that upbraideth not, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, flip-flopping, back and forth. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The reason for that is you cannot be confident. You can't have a confident expectation for good if you're flip-flopping. God's my only source, but yet I'm going to work on this. I'm going to try it this way. God's my only source, but maybe He's not. God's my only source, but I might try these other options as well, just in case God doesn't come through. Okay, that's not praying in faith. That is wavering, being tossed around. Okay, when you truly believe in God, you can be confident that you will receive because you're not wavering back and forth in faith and doubt. Okay, this is why a prayer of faith is like a vow. It's a commitment. It's a full-on commitment to God that you're placing it in His hands and you're not taking it back. That's a prayer of faith. It is saying, God, I'm coming to You in the name of Jesus. I lay this out in front of You. I give it to You and I'm not going to take it back. If I go to God about something similar again in the future, I'm just going to be thanking Him because I already prayed for it. Okay, it was a prayer of faith the first time. Second time, I'm just adding to that saying, God, I thank You that You're healing this. I thank You that You're doing this. God, I thank You that You are providing. I thank You that You are revealing wisdom. I thank You that it's on its way. Just because I haven't seen it manifest doesn't mean it's not on its way. It already has been sent if I prayed a prayer of faith. Okay, when you truly believe that there is only one way for something to come to pass, you will not continue seeking other options. Okay, God may speak to you. He may reveal something, and I'm not saying He doesn't. He'll change the direction. But most of the time, once God, you have prayed, you believe, God will give you the desire of your heart. You believed, you prayed, you went that direction. God will give you what you asked for. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says this. It said, these things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Okay, this is someone writing, following up on what Jesus taught him. Jesus said we could ask in His name and it would be given. And here he's writing the same thing. We can be confident that when we ask God according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, we know that we shall have the petition that we desired of Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. His will is that you ask in faith, believing. Anything that you ask according to His will, you shall receive. Whatsoever we ask in faith, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That is a knowing that when we prayed that prayer of faith, we can walk away. God heard it. The answer's on its way. I'm just going to look for it. Anticipate it. A few years ago, I had a job, a part-time job. It was an evening job. I had a day job as well, but I was doing maintenance for a public library. And I was the only maintenance guy. I loved the job. I had a good time doing it. But at that time, most of my time that I would work would be in the evening because I had this day job, right? So I'd work evenings. Well, my vehicle of choice at that time was a 1972 International pickup. Okay, it was kind of lowered, had fat tires on it, blacked out windows, loud exhaust. You can picture it, like redneck kind of, you know, that's me. Okay. That was my vehicle of choice. So I would drive that to work every night and park it in a little parking lot out behind the library. It may have had locking doors. I don't think I had a key to unlock a door, so I just never locked it. Well, one of the things that I did at that point in life as well was I had a hard case black leather briefcase. You know, one of those ones you click, click, and then you open the top up. It was, you know, like James Bond kind of stuff or whatever. I don't know. My mom gave it to me. So I had that hard case briefcase, and I carried it, took it almost everywhere I went. I would just leave it in the truck or wherever. If I was at work, I would just leave it in the car or the other vehicle or something. And in that briefcase, I carried my important stuff. I carried my Bible. Okay, I carried my notebooks. I always took notes in church. I have hundreds. I always carried other books that I was reading or studying. My pastor would give me books sometimes, and so I was reading those books. I'd carry sometimes food, you know, you have snacks or, you know, you have, you know, important stuff in there, okay? Things that you would carry, important papers, you know, whatever, that would go into this hard case briefcase. Well, one night I was at work and I came back out to my truck and somebody had helped themselves to my briefcase out of my truck, okay, with all my favorite stuff in it. So they took my briefcase. I went to that particular night. I had all the usual stuff in it, my Bible and all those things, but I had also been to a neighboring city a few days before that and bought several ounces of silver. It was back in the day. You could buy it fairly cheap. We knew it was going to go up. So me and my friends would make a trip every time we could and buy more silver. And I had a bunch of that in there as well. So they made it rich off of taking that briefcase. But the only thing that really mattered to me that was in there was my Bible. So the next night after they stole that briefcase, I went to my Bible study with my pastor and the rest of the crew. And I laid it out before them, told them what had happened, and I asked the group to pray with me. And I very specifically told them I did not care about getting the briefcase or the silver or anything else that was in that briefcase back except for my Bible. It was the first Bible that I had purchased on my own after giving my life to Christ. Somebody had given me one. I finally bought my own. It was one of those, right? It was marked up front to back with all my favorite verses, all my notes in the margins, pages kind of falling out. I had been, you know, using and abusing my Bible. That was really all that I wanted back. So we prayed a prayer of faith. Very specific. Matthew 18:19 says, Jesus said that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. I knew that scripture. I believed it. A couple of weeks later, I was sitting at my desk at my day job, and a friend walks into my office and says, "Hey, isn't this yours?" And she hands me my Bible. Okay? This is literally the same Bible. Okay? That friend also worked for that company, but as a side job, she was a seamstress. She made me this cover for my Bible. It's made out of black denim. Has a little Velcro closure on it, a little place to put your pen out here. She had made me this like 6 months or a year or something before that and given it to me. She was a believer, went to a different church. I had never been to that church. But her church was about two blocks away from where my briefcase was stolen. And she said she went to church on that Sunday and looked up, and in the windowsill sitting next to her was this Bible. And she recognized it because of the cover that she had made for me 6 months earlier and said, I think that's Gary's Bible. So it didn't have my name or anything in it. It was just all marked up. But she started asking around. They sent her to the pastor, and the pastor of the church comes and says, yeah, I showed up real early to church this morning, and that Bible was thrown up onto the steps. So I picked it up, brought it in, and laid it on the windowsill, hoping somebody would recognize it. Well, my friend recognized it and gave it back to me. Okay? Now, what makes that even greater and more amazing in my mind was that she was a regular churchgoer who had a favorite spot in church where she usually sat. Right? How many people do? Okay? Got your name on it. Well, she was running a few minutes late for church that day and could not sit in her regular spot, so she sat way in the corner on the opposite side of the building from where she would normally sit. She would never have seen that Bible sitting on the windowsill on the other side of the room. That Bible would have either sat there indefinitely, or somebody else would have used it, or the pastor would have put it in a bookshelf or something at some point. Now, I never saw the briefcase again or any of the other stuff that was in there. But you can't tell me that God does not love me and that He does not answer the sincere prayers of His children. I asked very specifically, God, I don't care about anything else. I just want my Bible back. Okay? And I have the Bible 20 years later, 22 years later. I truly believe Jesus meant it when He said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Some of you remember last week we had a missionary in church. His name was Ariel. He's a missionary to Japan. Great, great guy. We went out, my sons and I went out to lunch, breakfast with him this week. And I spent some more time with him hearing his story. And in part of our conversation, he shared the exact same passage that I had planned to share this morning. He basically confirmed as we were talking about faith and prayer. Okay, so I believe that this next verse is exactly what God wants you to hear. In Matthew 9:27 through 30, it says, when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed Him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He was come into the house, the blind men came to Him, and Jesus says unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto Him, yea, Lord. And He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. Let your faith arise to the point you receive. If they had said, well, somebody said you might be able to do this for us, Lord, Jesus' answer would have been a little different. But He saw their faith. They said, yea, Lord, we believe you are able. So He said, well, then, according to your faith, be it unto you. Hey, the Bible defines faith in Hebrews 11 as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it goes on to describe how by faith, God's people subdued kingdoms and shut the mouths of lions and overcame their enemies. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The requirement in that verse is the humbling yourself to the point you actually ask God. You go to Him and say, God, you are my answer. You are my solution. You take your request and make it known unto Him. Seek, knock, and ask. Jesus said that your heavenly Father knoweth how to give good things unto them that ask Him. He will give good things unto them that ask Him. That's why Jesus says what He says. Keep asking in my name. The Father will do it because it's me and you together God will keep blessing, not because you're great and perfect and did everything right, but because I did. God will bless you. Okay, Jesus is saying that it's available for us if we will simply ask. James, a brother of Jesus, said that you have not because you ask not. Okay, so quit putting up with being broke all the time. Start asking God for wisdom about tithing. Ask God for wisdom about your finances, how to get out of debt, how to find a better job. Ask God to open the door. So why that you can't ignore it? Ask God where you can cut back on overspending. He'll reveal all these things. If you remember, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given to him. Stop thinking that you're just going to be sick for the rest of your life. A prayer of faith shall save the sick. That means one faith-filled prayer, and in God's timing, you will be delivered from it. Psalm chapter 5 says that the favor of God encompasses round about us like a shield. The favor of God encompasses round about us like a shield. That means that you can expect good things to happen in your life. So don't just mumble a few words and think that nothing's going to happen. How many of our prayers, God, do we need to repent of that? Or we mumble something out, regurgitate what we think we're supposed to say, but we really don't expect anything to happen. I want to encourage you this morning to utilize the power of prayer in your life. It is something that God has given to you. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given. Okay? It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. On and on and on, you read the red in your Bible, you'll see where Jesus says, just ask the Father. He loves to give. He wants to bless you. He is very, very generous. You can have what you believe for. Be desperately dependent on God for the answer to your prayer. Trust God that He heard your request and that He has sent the answer regardless of how long it takes to manifest. I'll tell you, that Bible story has more to it than that, because I actually, that next weekend, was on my way to go. I had spoken as an evangelist at an event, and I got asked to go speak at another one up in Big Piney. And so I was on my way to Big Piney, and I got up there, and I had taken my study Bible, which was about this thick. And I remember having to do a disclaimer when I stood up to share my part, that this was my Bible thumper Bible, because my other one had gotten stolen, but God was going to bring it back to me. Okay, and so all those 100 and whatever people in Big Piney heard that God was bringing my Bible back to me. It hadn't happened yet. It had been several days I had prayed, but I knew that God had heard that prayer and that my Bible was going to come back at some point, somehow, some way, because I gave it to God, who can do anything. You know, when you pray to God for healing or for deliverance, okay, for provision, keep anticipating it until you see it. Keep believing that God heard my prayer. He's just orchestrating, he's just putting things in motion. He's got to deal with people. You know how people are. So sometimes he's got to deal with people. Okay, he's got to work through things and get things orchestrated and get it in the right order. God is on your side working to manifest that into your life. When you ask God to deliver you or a loved one, expect some change. Don't expect things to be the same as they were last month, last week, a year ago, whatever. Be persistently consistent in what you've asked for. Make it a vow. It's a commitment. God, here's my request. That's my commitment, is that I'm going to you in faith. Okay, this is what you're seeking, and there's no other option but to receive it. That's the vow. If you're asking according to God's will, because you're asking in faith, you can expect to see these things happen. Okay, this is such a simple thing, but it is how we as the Church of Jesus Christ walk in the power and the authority that God gave us. Use your voice. Use the power of prayer. Use what Jesus said. Ask. Take it to my Father. He loves to give. He wants you to produce fruit. You want to produce fruit? So does He. He wants you to do that, and He will give it to you. Amen. Father, we praise You this morning. I do pray, Father, that every prayer that we pray is a prayer of faith. I pray that we pray with the believing that You not only heard it, but that You sent the answer. That we shall have the petition of our heart. We shall have that request that we made known unto You because we asked You according to Your will. We asked You in faith. Father, we praise You for the gift. We praise You for the powerful, wonderful gift of prayer. The possibilities are endless because of that in our life. Lord, that You love us and care for us in such a powerful way that You would give us a tool like that. To be able to lift things up, to take it to You, and then walk away believing, trusting, knowing that that answer is on its way. Father, we thank You this morning. I pray, stir it up inside of us, Lord. That we not only just go through life just putting up with stuff or being complacent or being content with whatever it is, but that we speak to it in the name of Jesus. We speak to You on behalf of a circumstance or a person or whatever it is and believe by faith, Lord, that You have heard and have sent that answer. Father, we are trusting You this morning. You are trustworthy, Lord, and we praise You for it. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Let's pray every prayer, a prayer of faith. Every prayer. Amen and amen.